Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay,
Let's make a musical.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to On Book, the scripted musical process with Zach and Jess. That one's Zacharino.
That one's Jessica McKenna. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's write. It's a full musical. Did we say when we land? Sorry, you go.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed some of those live shows. Those were a blast. Here we are back on the feed.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping this little background On Book project going.
Real quick. Thank you so much for those of you who are still in the Off Book Clubhouse. Just as a reminder, if you are, that's basically just a Patreon and a patron in the more medieval sense, where you support the work of some artists and sometimes they give you stuff and often they don't. But if you want to do that, we love that. But if you don't want to do that, gosh, we don't want you to have not realized that's what that is. So please. But this is a buyer beware situation. But we love you all. Thank you so much for support. I like it. Keeps the feed running, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It does help us pay Brett and the musicians when we... It was actually sort of beautiful to be able to pay Scott from the... This, I don't need to get into this, but like...
No, I mean, like we use it for us as creative endeavors. And in a time when both of our unions were on strike, it was extremely useful. So thank you very much.
But also so we understand if you're like, wait a second, whoops, I need to cancel this.
Yeah, let us know. Please. But we did also just record everyone's favorite holiday episode. Should I not talk about that here?
No. I was like, I wonder which one will come out first, but I guess probably this.
This will come out first for sure.
Okay, great. Get ready.
We just recorded the holiday episode. And also as a thank you to those of you who are there, we did do a video of it. So that will be there for you. But for everyone, the holiday episode, it's Paul, it's Nicole, it's the band, it's everything you could possibly want.
We love doing it. We will truly never stop doing that. Nope. So don't you worry.
Nope.
Right, no matter now, where it lives or if podcasts exist, we will meet and improvise a holiday musical.
Climb out of the grave and rebuild our bodies bone by bone.
Yes.
And to bring you that episode.
Did you ever watch that short that's like the skeleton dance that like it's like from the 40s, like a Disney?
Yeah, pops up in all sorts of other stuff too.
Yeah, and then they put it out like in the Halloween collection on Disney Plus. And I like the premise that it's which is never really stated except for that like a clock is about to ding and they have to get back in the grave, that they only have like maybe Halloween night to dance in the graveyard and then they have to go back in their grave and a foot almost doesn't make it in. It's very funny.
Oh yeah.
But I like the idea Cinderella. That if we got one night we crawl out of our graves to improvise a holiday musical.
It doesn't matter what it is. As we have proved this year, we can do it in November if we need to.
Yes. But this is On Book, where we're continuing to shed a light on the process of Zach and I crafting a new written musical from the jump. And right now we're going to talk about this episode's vaguely about the opening.
Yeah, let's do the opening. It's going order. Also, and sort of classic us process, our brains are goo because we are simultaneously... At some point, we'll have to jump off of this recording to go work on the other movie musical that we are working on that we can't talk about really yet. And that's, I mean, that's a good flavor to bring to any recording, is just like the sort of constant distraction of your other creative endeavors that are going on. And that's not in a bad way. That's something you got to be able to do.
You got to be able to pivot, bro. I mean, honestly, though, I think that we're not going to get that text until like 3 p.m.
I think we got time. I don't think that text is imminent.
I really love just us talking through our actual lives, and we just are recording it. This is what other podcasters do.
It's so easy.
You guys, it's so much easier.
Don't do a musical improv. It's so much harder.
So I think that we revealed that we, or maybe we didn't at the end of the narrowing, that we have selected.
If we didn't, we're doing it now.
Okay. We are doing 15-year-old Portal. And we've established, we don't want to tell you all, we have sort of taken this time in between to sort of, outline the plot, but we want you to like hear that as it comes kind of, but we're not going to do no spoilers because the part of this is hearing the process, but we're not going to talk too much about like getting in the weeds about plot, but we have made some decisions and some thoughts about like rules of the world. And so,
and to this point of this episode, the opening episode, I think, for something of this concept, it is fun when the opening number is like, here's everything you need to know, and here are the rules of the crazy thing that is going on in this musical that is its whole conceit.
Exactly. So we wanted to give our protagonist something in her world that she was reactive to, as in the same year that she has this power where she gets sent advice through a portal for other 15-year-olds through time. And so,
just to recap.
Let's recap.
In this family, and in our case, it is a single father and his daughter who has just turned 15.
Correct.
And on this day, and this is what the opening will cover, he has, I guess what what did we sort of soft pitch this?
Good news, bad news. Or actually, hard news, magic news.
Hard news, magic news. So the good news, bad news. The good news is you're 15, you have a portal power. The bad news is we are moving for my work. So we have to move. Actually, that's just hard news and magic news. The hard news is we're moving for my work. That's hard. You're moving to a new school. That's going to be obviously hard in all the ways that that is always hard. But here's the magic news. The magic news is that in our family, when you turn 15, you gain the ability at any time to open a portal. Out of that portal will come some other 15-year-old into sort of your space. Doesn't mess with their time. Like, I'm going to get into rules a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mess with their timeline. You cannot control who comes out of it. It is someone who has some...
The portal provides what they think you need.
What the portal thinks you need to know. The only rule is that whatever comes out will be 15. So like, you can get Einstein, but it will be 15-year-old Einstein. And it is exactly, I believe they are exactly as old as you. So if you use this on the 10th day that you're 15, then you'll get someone who is 15 in 10 days.
Sure. But you're basically getting...
That's minutia, but it's important for a plot thing.
You're getting like cosmic impressions of them. So it's not like Einstein goes back and is like, wait a second, we have computers.
Right.
I know you touched on that, but like that's so... And I think because, of course, Zach and I just want to get like off to the races and be having like fun and not like getting into the muck too much, we will definitely use an opening number to be like, here's everything you need to know, so that we can just all be on the same page from the beginning. And obviously it's motivated by, in the story, he's actually explaining it to his own 15-year-old daughter. But he also doesn't want to tell her too much about his experience because he's like, you should have your own time with this.
Right. Openings in musicals are a little bit, I mean, there's a ton of ways that they're...
That's great. Let's talk about like ones we like for a second. Ones that we think are
so
effective.
Here's one that I think is extremely time effective is Into the Woods. Into the Woods has like, I wish more than anything. You're literally doing like a mini want song from like six different characters over the span like 6 minutes. What I don't think we have time to do is another equally cool thing, but like there is a musical that is sort of rule breaking in its opening, and it's called Oklahoma. And the opening is one guy coming out on stage and going, there's a bright golden haze on the meadow. Which apparently, I guess, some stuff from my musical history college experience did, I guess, live in my brain, was like, people were real confused that this was how this musical began. It was like,
oh, interesting.
It was not a way, not in a bad way. People were like, oh, it's great. But it was so different because musicals were always sort of like spectacle, da 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 da. Like everyone's singing sort of like, you know, the more traditional musical opening is a giant number.
That makes me think of that The Hills Are Alive is like that too. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting a little bit more reveal of her character, but you're just like, but only through like show don't tell. You're like seeing her in a nun in training outfit,
right.
But she is talking about like how the hills are alive with music. She's like exemplifying her freedom. And then she gets called back to the nunnery.
Right.
Get thee to a nunnery.
Where you workery in the nunnery.
Where you workery in your nunnery.
A nun's a job, right? That's called work.
Yeah.
It feels weird to say like the nun has to go to work now because it's sort of the nun's life. But it is work. Yeah.
It's a vocation. It's a
calling
path. It's a calling. Yeah.
It's a career.
West Side Story opening gives us the tension that we're getting dropped into, but we don't meet Tony and Maria.
No, we just see the gangs fighting and dancing.
It's very dancey.
It's extremely dancey.
I really like that opening, but it gives you a lot of information, but doesn't give you all the information.
Wedding Singer does a recap of everything you need to know up until that point.
Oh, that's cool.
It's literally like, I wrote a song 6 years ago while playing in a wedding band. It literally is just like, the word got out. Suddenly the band and I are in demand. Now couples all over Jersey hire us. It's like, we're a wedding band. Here's what we do. I had one song and then they sing the song.
That's cool. When you said one song, I immediately thought Glory. So yeah. Rent's opening, he is narrated, but has pops of other scenes, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. December 24th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From here on in, I shoot without a script. See if anything comes of it.
Instead of my his old shit.
And then we slowly meet characters. And it's cool because it's like it's Mark's documentary. It's like where the camera goes, we like now hear from other people.
Yeah.
And then we were recently reminded of how incredibly efficient the opening of Hamilton is, where we were like, oh, that's like a character-based info dump.
Yeah. Where the nice thing about that opening is that it's a whole bunch of people talking about one person, right? So you both get their side of it. Like, here's my relationship with this other guy. But it's all in sort of service of like, here's what you need to know about this guy.
Yeah. And also because it's narrated by Burr, it has like its own emotional engine where he's like coming at it from like, this guy drove me fucking crazy.
Right.
And like, I'm going to kill him.
You learn about all of these, everyone that like, cause it's not just him, right? There's other people in that.
There are, but he leads most of it.
Yeah. Right. Yes, yes, yes.
I just mean it has like fuel from the jump. It has an emotional fuel.
You learn about them too. Like
exactly.
It's just like all through the lens of how they feel about him.
Right. Right. So I feel like if we wanted to do something, well, we could keep talking about openings for a second in the broad sense, but if we wanted to do something similar, I think that like that's an important emotional hook is thinking about this single dad who is trying to make this sound good to his daughter. Obviously, we, the audience, get to also learn information, but it's being driven by like, oh, but I'm about to have a really hard conversation with my daughter, but how can I make it sound as good as possible? And that like I think that emotional core is helpful where
this is not the poetic version of it, but the opening line for a musical being, I'm about to have a really hard emotional conversation with my teenage daughter is extremely good. Like,
go open the door and have that extremely hard conversation with your teenage daughter. Something you are good at doing. Yeah, you are good at doing it. Hello? Nope, not ready.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's a fun way to start. I think I'm good talking about other musicals for now.
Great.
Let's get up. I'm at the bottom of our big doc and you'll see my one note that I had from before, which is, what if it moves a la our other movie? What if it covers a lot of ground? Like, what if over the course of this song, we're scared about having this conversation? And this is like, Hold on. I'm gonna jump around real quick. Scared about having this conversation. Have the conversation. Reveal the portal thing. Do the move. By the end of the song, we're like in the new house and we're like dropping her off at school or something like that. We just like fly through it or something
definitely.
Like that.
Which I think it might help us. This is a little bit of plot minutia. It might help us that like when he has this conversation, it's like 2 weeks before her 15th birthday where he's like, this is going to happen. And then they move and it's like on her 15th birthday in the new house that the portal opens for the first time.
Oh, interesting. I think they're, yes. So for the plot of it all, it makes sense for there not to be any. I mean, I guess we can have the move have already happened and it is occurring. A couple of things. One, it did occur to me that we are sort of close to Beetlejuice, the musical, in a couple of ways right now, and that we have.
I haven't seen it or heard it, so I'm coming at it fresh.
Totally fine. So there is a shift in the Beetlejuice musical versus the movie. Sorry, spoilers, if you haven't seen the very beginning of Beetlejuice, the musical. This is the premise of it, and it is a big departure from the movie, is that in the musical, what is her name? Oh, my gosh.
Lydia.
Lydia's mother has died and her father has moved her to a new house to sort of like get a fresh start, like fresh, needed to move out of that house and do a new thing. And that's sort of like an in-character adjustment for why this girl is obsessed with death, which in the movie is just sort of not, she's just like a dark kid. But in this one, it's like, oh, her mom just died. Of course she's obsessed with death.
Right.
Which is a really, really smart change. Great job, Anthony King. It's really good. So being wary girl has to move to new school is not something that anyone owns. It's been done a billion times.
It also happens in Mean Girls.
Also happens in Mean Girls and Mean Girls, the musical.
Right.
So I like the idea. It makes sense for plot reasons that she wouldn't want to, for us, that like the second you knew that you had this power, you would use it immediately, right?
Right.
So, that makes sense to me. I was sort of thinking like there's a happy birthday, you have a power now moment of it all. Like it feels like a surprise to be revealed on the day of the birthday, which I guess could just mean that they've moved already.
Right. So I think I'm of two minds, right? Either we start with, hey, I know this has been hard, but here's some magic news, where we're in the new house, but it's her birthday, or we have to do, I think, the other one where it's like, and maybe he even uses it where he's like, there's only one like silver lining I could possibly present to her, which is like, but like good news. There's also a world where we physicalize the portal in space where like our family has access to this portal, but it's only
it's a mirror
generational home.
Right.
It's like, it has to be here. I don't know that we want to go down that road because I think that might ask more questions than it's, but that would be another fix where it's like, and the best part about moving back to my childhood home, you'll get to use the portal that lives there.
Right. Sorry. The house that they're moving to is they're moving back to the home that the dad grew up in.
Right. In more of a rural, such a hard word, rural area.
Oh, right. We talked about this school being like a weird science magnet in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's funny. Yes, I like that. I can go a bunch of ways on this that all sort of work for me because there's something very funny about like, happy birthday, you have powers now. There's something very funny about like, but also there's something really interesting to your other point about in 2 weeks, you're going to have powers. And like, I feel like if I couldn't test that right away, I'd be like, surely not. I don't believe you. There's nothing that I've experienced so far to make me believe that this would be true.
Right.
So it's not going to diffuse the argument in the way that you think it is.
Right. And also it could be not the dad's plan to reveal that. He could be going in just to be like, hey, I've got some hard news. We're going to move back to my hometown because I have to take over the cannery business.
Bad, bad, bad.
And then
on the bright side, you're going to have powers in 2 weeks.
Sorry, I was always going to wait till your birthday eve, the night before your birthday. You know, like he could, out of an emotional need, like spring that on her as like, God, I have to give this poor girl like something good to hold on to.
Which gets her gets to do the like, I don't believe you. And then we like cut forward to in the cars. Like, so you said about powers. Like, are you still on that?
Are you cut right to the house? You know, like, don't worry, you're going to love this room. It's got such a great view. And like when the clock hits midnight, you know, you'll just do what you do. And we could really watch it be like, are you going to stay and watch me do my first portal? And he's like, no, I'll let you experience it alone. She's like, cause it's not going to happen.
Cause it's
like,
not going to happen and you'll be asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that buildup is good. Initially I was like, we're burying the lead too much. We should just get to it, which I think is potentially an issue. However, like, this gives them time to talk about it and not like have to. I think the delay to the actual doing of it is interesting because what if she also falls asleep before she can do it and has to go to school for the first day
without like, the portal
and doesn't
even,
do it?
We could even watch a 15-year-old come out and be like, I guess she's asleep. Okay. We're like, she wakes up. She's like, I knew it was bullshit.
Right.
And we wait for when she has a question for the portal. That could be good.
I mean, we don't want an extended thing where she like doesn't think it's real. I don't think that's
not a
plot hook, but she can miss the first one. And then she like gets ready for school and dad's like, so how was the portal? And it was like,
right. We can wait to have her use the portal for her want song. So we have this opening portal's not, this is stupid. And me and my dad are at odds. I go to school. Why is everyone obsessed with science? I mean, cool. But like, I'm sort of more of like a literature person.
Right.
And that's super hard. Comes down, slams door into room, asks to the heavens. And then first person comes out. Yeah. I think that's actually kind of fun, dramatic timing.
To push the portal a little bit back does sort of also put us a little bit more in line with like traditional arc of Spider-Man, right? Yeah. Spider-Man's like, good morning, you're Spider-Man. Although,
exactly.
Pretty good though.
Good morning, you're Spider-Man. I think that, we're talking about like, we're going 10 minutes in versus, you know.
For sure.
Which I think is great.
Okay, so can we...
really quickly, I think we want to make sure that like we are on the ground really understanding these two characters and their relationship.
And the getting important that, like, stuff, which is not...
emotional beating heart before we're like off to the races, fun and games. Right. I think that work will end up helping us.
I totally agree. And also like the portal is not... The portal is meant to be a device through which we explore the emotional themes. Exactly. It is not the like... Let's jump around in the portal and see what crazy stuff happens here for the portal's sake.
Right.
Okay. So I was thinking, can we do like a sort of like beat list of just like thing, not even in order, but like things we want to happen in this opening.
So yes, I was going to say it would also be when we actually get into like really writing it, it would be nice. Sort of a la our other opening. Yeah. It'd be nice to have like a little sung thing at the very top. That's our girl, that is maybe a theme that comes back. So like small example, she's like, she could sing, you know, I'm talking like a couplet where she's like, never know how lonely alone is, something like we just,
I mean,
like,
it could truly be her on the other side of her door.
Exactly.
Right. Like we open on her side of the door and we hear like that sort of like general teenage ennui. Okay. Girl singing. Alone in her room, some sort of like theme.
Couplet, quatrain.
But it gives us a sort of emotional hook.
Yeah. And it's almost just like a little, it's just a little ethereal what. And then we jump into like a real musical shift with the dad. And if we were doing this on stage, it would be like light, like small pool of light that the girl's sitting in. And then very I Wish style, like light up on dad on the other side going like, holy shit, you're about to tell your teenage daughter that she's got even more hard things to do as a teenage daughter. You know,
right, like cool. You know, what's fun is like having to tell your teenage daughter, for which everything is already hard and it's about to get a lot harder because of you. And you, it's, uh-huh. it's like, yeah. Uh-huh. How do you, I guess this is a slightly, yes, that's great. A musical shift. Of the dad freaking out, which is like, as we've talked sort of out of character for him, he tends to be like pretty, maybe if it's not even freaking out, right? It's like, okay, well, we should talk about the locational specificity of the portal, right? Because if it is something that only works from their ancestral home, then this is not something he would be freaking about telling her, because like, for her to be Spider-Man, she has to go to Spider-Man's house and he wants that for her. So like, that wouldn't be like, oh, I feel so bad. It would be like, well, this is going to suck, but like, this is how it's got to be. As opposed to if it could work from anywhere, this is just like what's happening. You feel more guilty about that. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yes. So we probably should go with that one.
Okay.
I like that he's like a chiller dad, or they have like tension about him sometimes being hands off, but I do think he should still be intimidated by having a hard conversation. And I think yeah. we should explore, we don't know exactly when the mom passed away, but like how long that's been, we'll have to nail down. Like, how has their relationship been?
I thought it had been a while. And I think yeah. that, I think that's good to distance us from Beetlejuice too, in which it is a really, really recent.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for us to be like, they have a dynamic. She's not like every day, like they are what they are.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And also I think that like, I'm now picturing this dad freaking out moment as much more of like a chill guy that's come to give you news and just like that. Nope. Can't do it yet. Not ready. It's not like the sort of like nervous, like Seymour energy of that. It's slightly different. Do we want to talk about, the sort of versions of this that we have thought of in terms of how it lives after this live performance? Is that
sure.
useful? Just in terms of like, because I think it is going to inform the way that we write stuff and how things go.
Yes.
So just to sort of loop all of y'all in, we have had the first thing that we want to do, write this musical and then do a, and then like cast it with everyone being a different person for a like recording of it. And then we were thinking we might do a two-person version of it with just the two of us and do it in, at Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah, we thought that would also be fun.
We thought that would be fun and a good way to sort of like really live in a show. You really get to know like what works when you do a show 25 times in a row. Do like an hour-long version of it, which is the version that we think we're writing anyway. Obviously, all of that could change pending if we can even go to Fringe, which is a pretty big time commitment at a sometimes busy time of year. But that's sort of what we're thinking in terms of like, so I think we are.
With an eye to, it could be performed by just the two of us, which we think would be really fun. Even if it was, you know, done on a smaller scale. We did like a handful of shows here. Right. Yeah, I think like that, we just are like, oh yeah, let's give, again, obviously if it became like a movie, you'd cast like age appropriate things. But I think you all know, I love playing 15-year-olds and not afraid mm-hmm. to do it.
Yeah.
Try me.
And me too. They'll just be other 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
They'll be the Franz.
Exactly. So I think in that way, we also like playing with some maybe like farcical elements of like doors opening, character switching, like making some of those, thinking of this as living on a stage is a little different than thinking of it living in a movie where you can make a lot of things work.
Right.
I think it can transmute to movie, but like we're sort of now picturing it as a two-person stage show.
And we wouldn't necessarily let that stop us, right? Like you from doing scenes with more people, you and I do live shows with just the two of us that have, where there are six people on stage all the time.
Yeah.
It's just its own sort of energy.
Right, exactly.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, back to this. Girls sing alone in her room, theme, emotional hook, a musical shift. Dad freaking out about the news he's about to drop, re the move. Do you have thoughts musically about this song? Like vibe-wise? Or I guess about this musical in general. I mean, like, I feel like it's going to lean modern musical like so much of our stuff does.
Yeah. I think we talked about we could have fun with certain 15-year-olds who come through the portal bringing like a genre shift because of the time and place that they're coming from, but all sitting within like, I think something that we have been like has been a good thing about the other movie musical that we've been working on for years is the longer we've worked at it, the more musical unity between the songs. And I think like starting from a place of having like a friendly bed of chords that a lot of it lives in, stuff that can be repeated, like motifs and themes. If like Einstein's one of the 15-year-olds and Einstein has a theme that's like da da da, that like that theme can play when anything from the Einstein lesson is paying off for our hero again, even if we're not seeing them. So I think building very intentionally from the beginning of having everything sound very unified and not a ton of like genre shifting, only genre flavoring.
Yeah, flavors. Sprinkle it.
But yeah, I feel it sounds like all of our crap, right?
Okay, great. Yeah, sounds good.
I mean, for me, I'm thinking of this as sort of a classic. The verses are lyrically dense and the chorus is a time to like stop down.
Soaring.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I mean, especially if we're coming from like a girl singing something melodic. And I'm about to have a hard conversation with my teenage daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like that's what we've set up for. Cause it feels like this opening part that happens right after that is like definitely some sort of musical fight, right?
Yeah.
Like a funny musical fight. But between the two of them where she's like, what? We're moving schools?
Yeah.
A musical fight about the move.
We also could do like a handoff where she has a verse, you know, we could build to that.
Well, that's part of why I think like maybe the moving faster time is maybe good. Cause like portal knowledge aside, it is fun to me just if like the opening verse and chorus of this takes place in their house, the next verse takes place in the car. And then the next verse takes place at the new house or whatever. I don't know if that necessarily works best for us for what we're doing, but it's just like visually cool and interesting.
Yeah, I think that works. Yeah, definitely.
But that is also, I think, like our movie is like seeping into to this for me.
No, nothing wrong with moving through time and space for sure. I think if that's the way we want also the audience to have a little more time to ingest the information versus like lights up in the new house tonight, there's a portal. Gosh, I mean, both work, but.
Cause we do need to stop down and explain that because it is critical and the rules of it are critical.
Right.
So at some point.
I mean, I kind of do like the idea of her being like, this is crazy.
He's like, no, here's all the rules.
And like, yeah, and she's like, why are you telling me this?
Why are you making this all up? This is nuts.
Yeah, this is not gonna help. You know, boy, I mean, obviously we can just make a decision, go with it, and then change our minds if it doesn't serve us. But
yeah,
I think that that's the right direction.
I think I agree.
I like the idea that he wasn't planning on telling her about the portal that night, and he like stumbles into it is kind of funny to me.
So he like comes into her room to have this hard conversation. Mm-hmm. It goes badly. As a way for him to sort of like funny badly, but it goes badly.
Yeah.
As a way for him to sort of like try to like pull success from the jaws of defeat. He's like, but in the way that parents do, it's like, but cool silver lining, you're going to have powers in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What? What? And that almost feels like, I mean, that feels like when a song starts almost, but I think we're in it, and let's just. So maybe that's when our chorus will happen.
Right.
Maybe we'll be in like a sort of long extended opening verse.
Yeah.
Which is not unheard of. Rent does it.
I think we could get away with that. Yeah.
Does Rent even have a chorus in its opening?
We're not gonna pay.
Yeah, but it takes a while for them to get there, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Almost thinking of it as like an opening suite, you know, like.
I do think of it as an opening suite.
Yeah. And it's sweet.
And it's sweet. As a way to soften the blow. He mentions powers early.
Uh-huh.
Oops.
Yeah, I think that's funny. You know,
so too. And then she's like,
and it's character-based, which is always helpful.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't believe you.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, no, it's real. Here are all the rules. It's real. It's complicated. And here's all the rules.
I mean, we also, depending on how much this is in our vibe, we could play with soliloquy where he like turns and he's like, holy shit, that why'd you do that, Gary? You said that too early. You were supposed to wait till the night of her birthday, but I know it will cheer her up. Rules. Here are the rules. You know,
kids love rules. Kids love rules. And psyched for rules.
I know you want to know how it works.
Have you ever tried to write the word soliloquy out?
No, and you can't make me.
And you can't do it.
S-O-L, and then goodbye.
It's almost the word soil. It's almost the word silo, but it's neither of those words. It's solilo.
Oof.
Quai.
It's like, it took me forever to be able to write souvenir. Like, we just got some odd ones in there.
Oh, yeah. Restaurant's been traditionally hard for me, and I know it all the time.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So yeah, soliloquies, I think, good as needed as like stop down, but also as ways to like, those are real useful for someone to really give their inner monologue, which were useful for him, but also for our hero to be like, I can't believe he thought this would work.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
This.
I think fun to play with like, what? And then what they're actually saying to each other. All while getting the information out.
You know what would be funny is if she's like pouting in the, and like we do that. That's our first verse. He's got all the information out, whatever. Door slam, end of scene, not end of song, end of scene. Open up now on the car. She's pouting, angry on the trip. And she's like, hey, remember when you told that bullshit lie about a portal in a way that you thought was going to make me happy? What was that about? It's like, no, that's real. Oh, you're doubling down on this crazy portal thing right now? Uh-huh. I'm so mad. I'm still mad at you, and I'm so mad at you.
Yeah. We also could just stay with the dad, right? Like, she has, like, headphones in, staring out the car window, and he's like, and now think of something different to tell her. Ooh, did you know that we have a restaurant downtown? What? Think of something different to tell her.
She's still so mad.
Mad.
At me. I wonder how long this is gonna go on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How long can a teen stay mad for? Like
might
7 years.
Might be forever. Yeah. Yeah, we could play with that. Stay with him a little bit. Because I do sort of feel like we start with her, we get this little glimpse into her and her life, but then it's mostly his song until she's like, okay, fine, happy birthday to, we get like a little bit of like, maybe if it, the tiny part of her that's like, it would be nice to have a little extra help. It'd be nice to have like a little more advice. It'd be nice to have like someone who listens and doesn't think twice, blah, blah, blah.
In her own head.
in her own bedroom, where he's like, you know, trying to stay up till midnight.
If this was real, yeah.
Exactly. Alone, she's like, it'd be nice if this was real, actually. It'd be nice if it was real. Fall asleep. She doesn't see it, but even if it's just a lighting cue of like a...
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Exactly, yeah.
For sure. You know what would be... I just had this thought. Okay, so we were just listening to One Day More the other day for unrelated...
Just
a fun Saturday hang where we got... It was also fun. You and I went and got lunch together. It was something that almost never happens. We're always working together and we never hang out. What a joy. This is just me bragging about the time we hung out on our podcast. Guys, I got to hang out with Jessica. And
it was real fun.
It's as cool as you think it would be. So that song, structurally, we were talking about, is very interesting because it basically has two sections that go back and forth. And different people sing different lines in them, but there's the... I did not live until today. And then there's the other section.
Right.
And it just goes back, betting-wise, music-wise, what's under it-wise... between those two sections, like the da 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 da. And it occurred to me that there's a comedic version of that that we could do here, which is their like essentially like verse section and the chorus section. But verse and chorus are not quite the right way to describe it. We basically have the them talking to each other section and then the them soliloquizing section.
Right.
And we jump back and forth between the two. So we start soliloquy from her alone in a room, two of them having sort of like conversation, even if sometimes that's just one of them musically, mm-hmm. that feels like its own thing. Mm-hmm. Then we go back into their like internal space where the other is thinking something. Then we go back to where it's actually a conversation between the two of them. It's like, I guess you could think of it broadly as the like in our head and like in the world section. Yeah. And those are musically distinct and we jump back and forth between the two.
Okay. What about this? What if there are also themes for the characters that repeat, but they like switch? So say that the dad in life, when he's actually talking to her, say he's singing more staccato or dense and he's sort of trying to get all the information out. But when we go to in, or maybe the opposite, he's like calm, cool and collected in front of her, right? He's like, hey, this is what's happening. I know it is hard, but da 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 da. And then when we go into his head, it's like da 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 da. And she's the opposite, where she, in speaking to him, is like da 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 da. What are you talking about? Why are you making up such a bullshit lie? And why da 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 da? And then when we go into her head, she's like, okay, so he's trying though. You know, like
he has a million things going on inside his head, but is able to present as cool, calm. She
is presenting is hard on her sleeve.
Way more centered in her own brain.
Right.
But when she has to talk, just like explodes.
Yes.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I don't even know that we need to worry that necessarily. Like maybe they both have their own slow theme and they interlap together.
Exactly,
maybe it's exactly the same. Who knows?
Right.
But I think that is sort of like the guiding rhythmic purpose.
It'd be cool to start from a place where musically we show that they're not on the same page, but they're actually made of the same ingredients mm-hmm. and build towards them being, you know.
Yeah. I think that's great. Because at one point they will like line up and do the mm-hmm. harmony version of the, like not in this song, obviously, but like later on.
Right.
Okay. Theme for... So while I type this, summarize that thought real quick in two sentences. The theme for the dad and or
the dad's in the dad's external theme is cool, calm, collected. His internal theme is a little bit more manic and stressed, and the daughter is the opposite. She blurts out what she's thinking.
Got it.
But internally, she's a little bit more like in herself, you know.
Got it. Great.
Which is fun. She's less of a moody teenager and she's more of an anxious teenager.
Yes. I don't think we think of her as like a screaming at... I don't think that's the relationship they have.
No.
Because we've talked about him giving her like a very like long leash and trusting her and thinking she's great. And her whole, her thing is more of a like, I don't, she doesn't see her own greatness.
I've also cited like, yeah, for me, I think like eighth grade is a very good influence. Watch it. You got to watch it. It's great. It where it's very much more that dynamic where like they're missing each other and there's conflict, but it's not like ragey. It's more like, it's more anxious and internal and a little sadder because it's more about like this sweet girl who doesn't know how to let her dad in versus a more moody or angry teen who's actively shutting them out. It's more like born out of that embarrassment where you're like, I can't show you myself because it's stupid.
Yeah. And I think,
which is very sweet.
And I think we're picturing also a version where this relationship is very good, right?
So yes.
It's like she is mad at him for this thing. She is not, they are not like at odds as people for the most right. part.
They have not been at odds until he says this.
Right.
And then maybe also just their actual dynamics change so much because he's either working more and, you know, to save the family cannery, to save the family, insert whatever the family does. We haven't decided right. yet.
We have decided that this school is out in the middle of nowhere in like a, do we put in a bog or is it just like sort of in the middle of nowhere? It's just sort of rural, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just as an idea like, that it's like tied to like the agricultural sciences.
Yes. I've loosely been picturing that it could take place in Washington State and she was in like Seattle and now is in like rural.
She went from city to small town.
Yeah. And there's parts of Eastern Washington that are actually like look like farmland pretty quickly where they have a bunch of cherries and apples.
Yeah.
So we could be in like, doesn't even have to look. It doesn't look like Twilight. It's not like that kind of rural Washington. It's the like. Right. A little bit more like farmland.
I would say we could just set it in. I mean, there's plenty of farmland in like Northern California.
It
could be a true. I mean, if we want to keep all of our fun California specifics that we know, we can just move her from Los Angeles to Mount Shasta.
Mount Shasta, where actually they grow a lot of weed.
I mean, that's funny too.
Yeah.
Did they used to before it was illegal?
I think so. And now there's like a race to legalize sort of these existing mountain farms.
Did you see this thing that there is a, there was a push to like turn a decommissioned prison into a weed manufacturing place because it has like the necessary security that you would
That's
need.
Cool.
It's like, this is a good way to repurpose this bad yeah. building.
Hell yeah. The big issue in growing weed in the mountains like that, though, is getting up enough water. That's what someone in Mount yeah. Shasta was telling us.
Weed's thirsty.
Makes you so thirsty.
Makes you thirsty. The plant is thirsty.
The other day I was hanging out with some friends and I could tell my friend's edible kicked in because their mouth was doing that like. I was like, like he was like having a full conversation. I was like, yo, dude, did that edible hit? And he was like, what do you mean? Because my mouth. Like, yeah.
I haven't
between every word you have to re-wetten your mouth.
I haven't. Yeah, my friend who got high said something god months ago that really stuck with me. He's like, yeah, nothing like being high and getting a glass of ice water. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh yeah, he's right. So like
wild
what a glass of ice water will do. It's been a while.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, is that's sort of like what we would do as we break a song.
Yeah. Let's just because the next step is then rough demo of it, which who knows? Either
you may get us,
you may play snippets of it here.
Yeah. Or you may get us talking about the one song and then get a dual episode where you hear snippets of both. Who knows how the workflow is actually going to work out, but the premises, you will hear snippets of this as we go. So though not always on the same guaranteed timeline.
So let's just real quick before we cap this, because I think we are good. I think we do have the pieces that we needed to have. Physically, it starts in their old house, right?
Mm-hmm.
It ends in their new house. Does it end with her falling asleep before midnight to the same song?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Right before midnight. Or does it like end as they're unpacking and then that's like a scene between the two of them? Or is the first scene like, good morning, get ready to go to school tomorrow, today?
I think more music, more better. Like, ends with him like closing the door and being like, you know, you can try to stay up till midnight. It'll be pretty cool, you know. And she's like, well, I have to go to the first day of school tomorrow.
Oh, right. And then right before she falls asleep, we get that her like, well, it would be cool if this power was real, but she like can't make it.
And then she falls asleep and then we get the wah, wah, wah. And then lights up next morning. We have a scene of her at school being like, what's happening? What's happening? School, school, school. Come home into one song, I think.
Do we not start with like breakfast table with dad? Like
we may, but I think that's still like scenic and quick.
Right. But that's next. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. 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 Anything else do we want to put on this shot list before we dive into that we want to make sure we hit? Those are sort of like the, do we need a middle traveling section between the two, or is it better to just jump house to house?
I don't know that we know yet. It might see how long, like how much real estate we use that first conversation. If it already feels too long, we might just want to like get to it.
Great. And we do want to get the rules though, right? She's sort of like discounting all of it. So the rules are, it's for while you're 15, you get someone who is exactly as old as you.
You can ask the portal a question, but you don't get to say, can you please send me like Anne Boleyn or whatever.
The portal sends you what it thinks you need.
Uh-huh.
Is it open all the time, or does it like open as she uses this power? I think we want it to womp, 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 open and close. I think the more it's not controlled, the better it is. It's like,
yes,
like it will probably start right away because you have a bunch of, and he can be like, it probably will open right away because like you've got a lot of things you need, and it sort of like opens as you need it. For me, it happened right when I turned 15.
Yeah.
Opens as you need it. And you can kind of focus on what you want, but it gives you what it gives you.
I think so. Yeah. Like making a wish into a wishing well, you know, like.
That's funny too, that we can have like, we can have it accidentally open when she's like making wishes that she doesn't realize. She's like,
yeah,
man, I wish I knew how to talk to hot people. Womp, 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 womp. Whoa, the hottest 15-year-old you've ever seen.
Where are you from? 20 BC.
20 BC, Finland. What?
You're so fucking hot. That's funny.
Yeah.
I love the mix of the famous and non-famous.
Famous and non-famous, but the accidental opening of it is something that I think we hadn't thought about before. But
yeah, that's great.
If it is triggered by like...
wishes.
Needing, yeah, like wishes. Like, who would she wish for and who would she actually get? Like, the version of our generation would be like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Titanic era Leo. Titanic era Leo. Or I guess, no, you have to get 15-year-old Leo who was cute.
Yeah.
Growing Pains era Leo.
And then instead you get just like an actual 15-year-old who worked in the Titanic is like,
oh no.
Oh no, your life was hard.
And you didn't live past 15.
You died this year. Sad. Probably not that.
You could do a ship builder on the Titanic.
That's true. It's my first job. I made the best ship. Oh, no. Okay, great. That's how you did an opening number. It's easy.
I mean, we can also, now just peek behind the curtain, like Zach and I will like fill in lyrics as we think of them. I might throw him just like random couplet ideas. Then he might do like a rough pass and go back and forth. And when we have if there's anything interesting that we discovered, we will loop you in.
Yeah. Anything lyrically, I mean, like the things that we've talked about is like, I'm about to have a very hard conversation with my 15-year-old teenage daughter. Funny to me. I don't believe you. Funny to me. It would be nice to, if this were real.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else at the top of your head, or if not, fill it in the stock later.
Yeah. I think those are the big chunks.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us on another episode of On Book, the scripted musical process.
And, you know, watch the space.
And hopefully now you'll be listening to a little bit of this opening in progress. Bye.
Goodbye.